Good afternoon and welcome into another day on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Yeah, need to slap my tongue a couple of times and get it in shape. But, you know, the song, listen to the music. You know, our lives are so busy. Every once in a while, somebody asks me, how in the world did you come up with that for intro music? Well, I mean, the other night I was sitting out on the back porch, and I live with a bunch of houses behind me. I don't live in the country anymore. And, man, the tree frogs were going at it, you know, had some birds whistling, even at night. And that's why I do it. Because, man, the outdoors is full of nature. It's full of sound. It's full of listen to the music, if you just take the time to do it. One of my favorite places to go is the mountains. Any brook, any stream, any river. Because of the different sounds you get. And then you go other places, like when you get way off the road and you can't hear everything and your ears start ringing because there's nothing except the sound of nature around you. And that's kind of why I picked that for the intro. Thanks to my wife. She helped me out with that. But speaking of what? Speaking of music, sounds, the hair on the back of my neck stands up when I hear this.
Plus years of service. Combat medals, citations. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years. Yet you can't get a promotion, you won't retire. Despite your best efforts, you refuse to die. Should be at least a 2-star admiral by now. Yet here you are. Captain. Why is that?
It's one of life's mysteries, sir.
End is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
Yowzers. I can't wait. June the 26th, I think, is when it opens, of 2020. Maverick. Top Gun Maverick. How many of you, I'm sorry, this has got nothing to do with the outdoors. I'm sorry. How many of you can remember where you were when you saw the first trailer for Top Gun? How many? Let's see, June, is it 26th? Yeah, June 26th, Friday, 2020. I can tell you where I was. This is one of those useless bits of information you'll forget, hopefully soon after I say it. Subway, Wade Hampton, beside, kind of up there where Trader's Gun Shop is now, the old Bilo, Winn-Dixie Warehouse. We were rocking bowling at Wade Hampton Bowl, and I was hungry. It was midnight, and I rode up to Subway to get a sub, and that was on MTV at that time, I think. The original trailer from Top Gun. So, woof. Can't wait. Okay. Enough of that, but that is cool. It's just cool. I think it was, what is that, Harold Faltermeyer that did that? Didn't he do all the music, all the unsung music for Top Gun? Anyway, we might have a Woods and Water Top Gun movie night. I wonder how many, let's see. in a year, ticket price would be another $10. That's $30 a person. I could probably take two people. The rest of you have to buy your own ticket. But anyway, we might have to have – I know some of my engineers over here going, me. I know some of the guys, some of the people I went to high school with, you know, that because it came out, what, 1986 or something like that? Or that was college years by then. Yeah, May 12th, 1986. I know they've already started talking about having some kind of watch party or something. Everybody get together and go see it. Too bad the Bijou is not here anymore. Oh, man, the Bijou. That would be the place to go see it. But anyway. Okay, back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. What all we got to go? We are going to – it's going to be a good show. We have a huge calendar of events this week because there's just a lot of stuff going on over the next week or week and two that might interest you. Emily Kearse from the Department of Natural Resources is going to be with us to talk about the lottery hunts that the Department of Natural Resources puts on every year, mostly concentrating right now on the deer. I did not get selected for the alligator tag. Maybe I'll get that next year from what she says. But we're going to talk about the deer, the waterfowl. There's the quail and then the youth-only waterfowl hunt. Have her back next spring to talk about the turkey hunts. And but that's going to be in the third segment after the bottom of the hour break. Like I said, I got a big calendar of events to go through. But we've also got the new deer regulations. I had lunch with Robert McCullough, Captain Robert McCullough, and have been emailing back and forth with Charles Ruth about the tag system and the ban and all of that. And we're going to get into that, I think, probably, well, might better get into it now. Boy, time management on this show is fleeting when you only have so much time. Well, I tell you what, let's go to the calendar. We'll just carry it over in the next segment, get through what we can now, next segment. Emily be with us, and then we'll finish up in the fourth with whatever's left over. And I got some fun stuff, too. As always, the calendar is brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center. The South Carolina Ducks Unlimited Lakelands Area Summer Camp, Summer Workshop, August the 7th, 2019, 5:30 to 8 o'clock, the Palmetto Shooting Complex in Edgefield. All SCDU volunteers welcome. Bring a shotgun and shells for a fun shoot, followed by dinner, beverages, and a conservation update. Free admission. August 7th, Palmetto Shooting Complex, South Carolina Ducks Unlimited, Lakelands Area Summer Workshop. On the same day, in Columbia, South Carolina, you go to the Wheeling Sportsman's Park Lane Wheeling Sportsman's Gun Bash. It's at 6 o'clock at Park Lane Seafood in Columbia, South Carolina. For more information, you can go to the National Wild Turkey Federation website, look at events in your state, and hit the calendar, and there you'll see it. Creek Ranger Hike for Families. This is off the South Carolina State Parks website. June through August, on most Friday mornings at 10 a.m., families will be led on a nature hike looking for animals and their habitats in or near water. What to say about whacking my tongue a few times? Part of the program will be spent in the creek using nets, so bring water shoes or use some of the park's water shoes. Some finds will be brought back to the tub lab for an up-close look under the park microscope before being returned to their home. Program is $7 per family. Admission is waived. Let's see. The program is $7 per person. Admission is waived. Registration required. Anyway, the next one is August the 9th, and this is at Parris Mountain State Park. Register one day before. Event hours 10 to 12. The meeting place is Picnic Flats parking area. And, of course, bring water shoes if you have them. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, Philadelphia Baptist Church, South Carolina Hunters for the Hungry 14th Annual Benefit Banquet featuring Sam Weiss, former NFL quarterback. I think he was Cincinnati Bengals, as much as my NFL knowledge takes me. That's in Pauline, South Carolina, Philadelphia Baptist Church. $20 tickets online at schuntersforthehungry.com or $30 at the door. Great prizes. Dinner. Gosh, I need glasses. Anyway, schuntersforthehungry.com has got all the information. And turnout, it's a good call, South Carolina Hunters for the Hungry. All right, going to take a break for this next break. I do have more things to talk about for the calendar. And then we'll get to the new deer regulations they want me to talk about again. So hang on through the break. More Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back into Woods and Water, South Carolina. Want to finish up the calendar of events. Brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center. on August the 14th in Sumter County. I don't know that they actually don't know that they've got said where it's going to happen yet, but the Department of Natural Resources is offering a youth wing shooting clinic from 8:30 till 2. It says, come and learn all the basics of bird hunting at our hands-on clinic for youth ages 10 to 17. It's limited to 25 participants. And I did see something came across my desk this past week that said there's still room. For more information about the clinic or an application, please contact Mary Anna at masonm@dnr.sc.gov. So there's two ways to go about doing this. You can contact her, masonm@dnr.sc.gov, or I think you can go to the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Take One, Make One program, and they have this flyer. But anyway, that's in Sumter County. I'm going to try to make that one because actually I've got to be in Columbia that evening. And so this would fit in. If I got to be in Columbia, Sumter's kind of close. I might try to get over there and go to that one. I need some help, too. I wonder if I could pass for 15. August 17th, got two more events going on the same day, one in Lexington, one in Fort Mill. It is family fishing clinics. You know, it's fishing is year-round here in South Carolina. We don't ice up like everybody else does up north, so you can fish year-round. But these are family fishing clinics, one in Lexington at, Jiminy Crickets. 3225 Emmanuel Church Road. I'm not sure where it's being held. It doesn't say. And neither is this one. It's in Fort Mill. It says 1353 Del Webb Road, but it doesn't say exactly where it... Anyway, sorry about that. Family fishing clinics, you know, they are they're for people who don't necessarily know how to bait a fishing hook or cast a rod, and that's what these are for. Shows you how to put a rod and reel together, how to put line and a thread line through the guides on a, how to tie on a simple hook with a couple of knots, Palomar, and I think they use another knot too, but the Palomar is their main one. How to put on a piece of slip shot and a cork and how to cast, and then you go fishing. So these are both happening on August 17th, one in Lexington, one in Fort Mill, and I'm sorry, it does not tell me where they're going to take place, except for the street address. But if you go to the Department of Natural Resources webpage and you look under, and I'm going to tell you exactly, I'm going to find out right quick. Hold that thought, as somebody would say. If we go to Aquatic Ed. Okay, Aquatic Education. I mean, I'm going to solve this right now. Family Fishing Clinics. Here we go. Upcoming dates. August 17th. The Lexington Wildlife Chapter is the one in Lexington. Sun City Grandparents Park is the one in Fort Mill. There you go. If you go to the Department of Natural Resources website, type in Aquatic Ed or look for the fishing tab, it'll take you right to them. There are a couple more. John's Island Fair Play on in September. Another one in Fort Mill in September, one at Table Rock the end of September, and then one in Santee, South Carolina in October. So I'll fill you in when those come around. But like I said, these are introduction to fishing. If you've never been fishing, this is a chance for you and your wife, your kids, neighbor's kids, whoever, to go and learn how to fish. Because once you're hooked for life. The tug is my drug, as they say. So anyway, that's just a few things to get you started on some things to do outdoors in South Carolina. The rest is up to you. We've talked about the new regulations before, and I need to talk a little bit more about them. They, July the 24th, DNR actually released the regulations with a lot more explanation, with some questions. There is a DNR video on this, Charles Ruth and Jay Cantrell talking about the new rules, and actually they cover the bear thing too, and I don't get to that. But if you haven't heard by now, new regulations established for use of natural deer lures and attractants in South Carolina. And it starts out, to take effect in the 2019-20 South Carolina deer season, it is illegal to possess or use for the purpose of hunting or scouting any wild animal in South Carolina any substance or material that contains or purports to contain any excretion collected from a cervid deer, including urine, feces, blood, gland oil, or other bodily fluid. This does not prohibit the use of synthetic products or substances collected by a hunter from deer legally harvested in South Carolina. No, the Department of Natural Resources cannot forbid Walmart from selling whatever they want to sell. But you can't use it. Lawfully, you can't use it. And the first question that comes up, and this just runs all over me, is, well, how are they going to enforce it? Why do you even need to ask that question? As a hunter, as a sportsman, CWD is a real threat. We don't have it here in South Carolina that we know of. There's been no tested positive cases for CWD in South Carolina. Last year, Mississippi and Tennessee, latest two states. So now there are 26 states with confirmed cases of CWD. Deer hunting changes dramatically when CWD is found in a deer herd. Mandatory testing, special seasons because they try to eradicate the herd around those hot zones. You get infection rates in the herd, and it's 100% fatal, folks. CWD kills everything it infects. There's no cure for it. There's no positive live test for it. So enforcement shouldn't be the first question you ask. You know, if you want to ask a question, ask, what is CWD? Go to CWD and research it and find out. One of the best places I know of, it's apolitical, pretty much just lays it out there. It's cwd-info.org. It's not slanted one way or the other. You know, some CWD websites are paid for and supported by the deer farm organizations. Some are out there, and they're paid for by some doctor who's got a research grant, and he slants it toward his research. CWD-info.org is pretty much down the middle of the road. Here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. And here's the things we can do about it. And yes, all this, well, the urine part is what people just get nuts about. Urine and attractants, that sort of thing. The spinal column fluid, body, you know, the oil, all that, that's been outlawed for a few years. I mean, you cannot go to a CWD positive state and bring a whole carcass back to South Carolina. It's illegal. And in fact, you're breaking laws of every state between here and wherever, because most of those states have the same law. You can't bring a whole carcass through any state from a CWD positive state. So it's the attractant part that's causing everybody problems. There are a couple of homegrown businesses that are popping up who I guess have arrangements through processors here in South Carolina who are going to start marketing South Carolina-based scents and urines, and that's great. That is the free economy at work. But I hate this. Well, how are they going to enforce it? We are the ones to enforce it. This is what we enjoy doing. This is what we love doing. This is what we've done all our lives, hunting. It's a natural resource. We are the front line of protecting that natural resource. Whether we agree with whatever DNR does, whatever the legislature actually does, because DNR just makes the recommendations and the legislature either takes it or doesn't. I got a story here, and I've been meaning to get to, about the turkey regulations. South Carolina lawmakers ignore science and research. So, you know, it's not always DNR's fault for whatever happens. The new tags we've got, that came from the legislature. They heard enough from constituents that those 8 dated doe tags limited opportunity, and so they changed it. Okay, so back to this. Yes, if you read the research, scents and urines is probably one of the lowest risk for CWD transmission that's out there. But with no live test for CWD and the mass collection of this, I mean, it's not like they go to one animal and, okay, here's his, and here's hers. No, it's collected in mass. So you don't know which animal it came from. There's no way you can certify that CWD free. The Archery Trade Association has a program that a lot of people are asking about. It is the Deer Protection Program. It basically follows the USD herd certification program, which has voluntary. It's a long list, and it does a little bit more, I guess, but it's, you know, testing of animals, fence heights, herd health, on-site visits by veterinarians and stuff like that. But in the end, you cannot certify it CWD-free. The only way you know CWD is present is when you have a dead animal. That'll tell you. That's where you can get a positive test. So in emailing back and forth to Charles Ruth, and I'm not sure where he got this from. I don't doubt this is true, because Charles, he wouldn't He wouldn't give me this if he didn't have the backup for it. We were talking about the ATA program, and I'll just read him. Many professional ones, this is from Charles Ruth. We're aware of the ATA certification program. Appreciate ATA stepping up along these lines. However, the program uses the current USDA HCP program as foundation. Numerous issues have been identified with many, I don't know what that word is. Iterations makes sense, of the HCP. Many professional wildlife biologists consider surveillance requirements under the USDA HCP as lacking and poor record keeping by captive farms and lack of enforcement make it questionable how effective the USDA program is at keeping herd CWD free. There again, there's no live test. In the past year, six of 15 captive herds from CWD were considered low risk by USDA HCP. Furthermore, CWD has been found in 40 captive served facilities since 2012 in 9 states. 15 of the 40 were enrolled in the USDA HCP program. So, you know, it's a voluntary program. Who's the enforcer? Details regarding the inspection process and underlying legal authority are unclear, as are the cooperating veterinarians and their qualifications. Bottom line from DNR is that they do not want, if we diagnose CWD in the future, they don't want to look back and say DNR did not do everything we could to prevent it. So there's a video out there you can watch. The news release is on their website on the front page. If not, it's gone to news. And it takes you through, like I said, what is CWD, what's transmittal, you know, possess or use mean, are they legal alternatives to natural deer urine? Yes, plenty of synthetics out there. You know, yes, you can use stuff that you harvest here in South Carolina. So, like I said, enforcement shouldn't be our first question on this. It should be, okay, let's keep South Carolina CWD free, and this is what the agency we charge to keep track of deer has to say. All right. Emily Kears is going to be with us next segment to talk about lottery hunts. This is for every one of you deer hunters that wants to go to a cool place, especially one rather cool one. So hang on through the break. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, it's always when it comes to hunting, fishing to some extent, but hunting to a bigger extent, access is always a question. You know, have a guy there who wants to go hunting, but he doesn't have access. He doesn't have a hunt club to go to. He may or not have game management close to him. But here in South Carolina, we're very fortunate because we have places in the state where you can apply for a small fee. I think it's $10 in most instances. For a lottery hunt, and not only getting access, but you get access to a highly managed piece of ground for you to go hunt on. And it's all different hunts. It's deer, turkey, waterfowl, and all. So, like I always do, I get on the horn with somebody, and somebody makes a mistake in answering an email. And today's mistake is Emily Kears. She is the permitting biologist, lottery hunt coordinator for DNR. And Emily, thank you for taking time out to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yes. Don't be nervous. This is,
yes, sir.
This is just like talking to somebody on the phone.
Yes, sir.
Well, take just a moment, introduce yourself, and what your job there with the Lottery Hunt Coordinator is.
Sure. So as you said, I'm Emily Kears. I am the permitting biologist and lottery hunt coordinator for the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. I've kind of taken on the role to be in charge of our public lottery hunts program.
Okay.
As you mentioned earlier, this program does provide hunting opportunities to the public on, you know, some of our highly managed, you know, wildlife management areas. The program has grown, you know, since it started.
Okay.
A lot more people are applying.
Yes,
sir. We've added, of course, you know, more, you know, hunt sites over the years, and we are trying to accommodate, you know, more hunt dates.
Okay.
As the popularity is getting, you know, bigger.
Sure.
Currently, we hold lotteries for 5 different species.
Okay.
Those are alligator, deer, waterfowl, quail, and that's my five right there.
That's your five.
That's my five. For two of those, we do offer a youth lottery option.
Okay.
We offer that for waterfowl and turkey. So
okay.
We do have a youth option for those two species.
All right.
Just a little side note, I do a lot with the lottery. We do have other youth hunts throughout our agency, but I only handle the lottery one.
Okay. All right. And let me add, I applied for an alligator tag again this year. I've got two preference points. Is that about a three preference point tag?
Typically, it is.
Okay.
You know, different factors go into the play, but typically for alligator, it's 2 to 3 years to be selected.
Okay.
Now, this year, individuals did have a little higher amount of preference points because we did eliminate the alligator WMA lottery.
Okay.
So for individuals that had preference points in that lottery, those were converted into the alligator, you know, public lottery.
Okay.
So some individuals did have higher points than normal this year.
Well, if you can, that's alligator. And I wondered that because that's what a lot of people said. On your average, do you have an average for somebody applying for, if they apply, and granted there's some fluctuation in how you apply determines how often you get it. How soon you're going to get drawn, and we'll get into that a little bit later. On the average, if somebody applies to the same deer hunt, for how many years will they take to get drawn, on average, just a guess?
It depends on what application you apply for.
Here we go.
So we'll kind of go into deer. We do have a new deer lottery this year.
I wanted to cover that one, too, so wherever you want to go with it.
Well, okay, so in the past, we have had three deer lotteries. We've had the multi-site. We've had the web archery only, and then the web steel gun.
Okay.
So typically the web deer lottery hunts are your most famous. Everyone wants to get in on those.
Right.
So typically for the web, it's about 4 years.
Okay.
So we can have your patience. I promise you'll be worth the wait.
Yeah.
We joke a lot that a lot of people apply just for the good food down there.
Shoot, yes.
Those women down there know how to cook.
Yes, ma'am.
So, like I said, this year we've added a new deer lottery.
Okay.
This one is called the Unrestricted Multi-Site Deer Lottery.
Okay.
We have taken Bear Island, Donley, and Bonneau Ferry.
Right.
Those are the three properties in this lottery.
Okay.
The Unrestricted, we get that name from, there's no antler restrictions on those properties.
Okay.
For the other deer lotteries, you know, to harvest a legal buck, there has to be 4 points on one side or 12-inch minimum spread.
Right.
So those restrictions do not apply to those three properties, the Bear Island, Donley, and Bonneau Ferry.
Okay.
We are trying to harvest some more deer from those properties, so we encourage you all to apply. It is a new hunt, so all applicants will be starting at zero preference points.
Okay, so a lot of people will apply this year, will get drawn this year.
We hope. I don't know how many people are going to apply.
Okay.
We hope a good amount. We want to accommodate more. We've added some additional dates to those properties as well. Just something to keep in mind, you know, an individual, they can apply for all four of the deer lottery hunts.
Okay.
But it is up to the applicant to make sure they don't choose a date, you know, on the same day on, you know, two different applications. Just be mindful when applying, you know, that you don't get selected for two hunts on the same day.
Going along with that thought, you know, of how to apply for these hunts and all, what are some of the other things that affect where you fall in the lottery?
So, of course, the first will be preference points. The big tip is you do want to apply each year with the same customer ID number. That's how you're going to build up your preference points.
Okay.
The higher number of preference points you have, the higher chance you're going to be selected. It also depends, you know, what sites you pick as well as dates. Of course, usually the earlier hunt dates for deer, you know, especially during rut season, more people tend to apply for those dates. So usually the later dates, you know, December, you know, many don't pick those dates, so you might have a better chance of being selected depending on the dates you select.
Okay. What about people in your group? If you got 2 to 4 guys applying on the same application, does changing the people in that application affect how many preference points the person that's been in there the longest?
Yes, sir, it can.
Okay.
So let's say me and you, we were a party. We've been applying for 2 years, so we have two preference points.
Okay.
Starting this year, let's say we wanted to add your brother.
All right.
That will affect us. When adding a new member that has zero preference points, when we do the drawing, it takes the person in your party with the least number of preference points into account.
Okay.
So that can affect your chances.
Okay. All right. Well, that's anything else affect? I mean, I guess, you know, hunters are, we're kind of strange about this. We look at moon phase and, you know, like you said, the rut and all of those. Mm-hmm. If I'm, a lot of these guys are going on these state hunts because they are, like you said, about web. I mean, everyone wants to go down there, whether it's the food mm-hmm. or the hunting. You want to go. Watching those dates, do you see, and I don't know if you have this data, do you see that that makes a big difference in the number of animals harvested?
I don't have that data on me. I would have to look into
okay.
that.
Don't worry about
I actually, I don't see a lot of the harvest reports. I go okay. through the property manager.
Okay. I didn't know. I had to hit you with one you wouldn't know about,
sure.
right? And that was an easy one. Well, what are the, where are some of the other properties? Like, we've got the unrestricted multi-site. We know Bear, Bono, and Donley. Mm-hmm. The multi-state, where multi-site still gun hunts, where are those properties located?
Sure. So for the multi-site, which is kind of your traditional multi-site lottery,
okay.
there's five properties you can choose from. We have Belfast. I believe that's in Lawrence County.
Yes, ma'am.
Botany Bay, which I think that's
Charleston. Yeah.
Then there's Hamilton Ridge and Palachicola. Those properties kind of butt up to the Webb Center.
Okay. All right.
That's down in Hampton. And then there's Watery, which is in Richland County.
Okay. Nice. And tell us a little bit about I know about Webb because I've been down there over my lifetime. I've been there a bunch. These properties that are in these programs, they're managed a little differently than just your average game management land, aren't they?
That would be a question to probably, you know, call down to the property manager. I spend a lot of my time in the office here in Columbia.
Okay.
So for, you know, questions on how they're managing, I'll, you know,
okay.
someone can call me and I can provide that contact information for the property manager.
Okay. That's a good one. All right. So we got alligator, about 3 years to get drawn. Deer, 2+, depending on where you want to go, what time of the year, who you're going with.
Mm-hmm.
Waterfowl.
Alrighty.
let's talk about waterfowl because that, you know, that type of a hunt is harder to come by than a deer hunt in South Carolina.
It is, yes, sir.
So tell us a little bit about the waterfowl hunts we offer.
So for waterfowl, like I said earlier, we also have a youth option for the youth lottery waterfowl.
Okay.
But I'll talk a little about, I guess, about the adult
sure.
Waterfowl. You're able to choose from 13 sites. I can list all of them, but...
No, it's all right.
I won't bore you too much on that.
Sure.
But I do have some information I did, you know, for the top five sites
okay.
of the waterfowl. So the first one, and this is based on last year's data. Of course,
right.
you know, this can change, you know, annually.
Sure.
But based on last year's data, Bear Island, the Springfield property, that was the... A lot of people applied for that.
Okay.
The average preference points to be drawn for, you know, Bear Island Springfield was 3.25. Of course, we don't, you know, do decimal
sure.
preference points.
Sure.
So around 3 preference points for
okay.
that property.
Okay.
Next in line was Santee Coastal WMA.
Okay.
That was also around 3 preference points. There was Bear Island East, around 3 as well.
Okay.
Santee Coastal was 3, and then that was for the Cape, and then Santee Coastal Cedar Island was also 3. So for the top five sites for waterfowl, it was about 3 preference points to be selected.
And that, a lot of people wonder, well, why are those so good and all that? But every year, y'all produce statistics based on number of hunters, number of shots fired, number of birds harvested, and all that to give statistics overall about if you go to a certain place, then
mm-hmm.
you can, the average bird is, you know, 3.4 per hunter, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of people take the time to look at those category, those hunt statistics and say, this is where I want to go based on the average number of birds harvested.
Correct.
Okay. And those are category, is that category one waterfowl areas?
Yes, yes, yeah. Sir. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then category two waterfowls, those are open to the public usually on specific days through, you know, the season. Those are posted on our website. You can always give us a call for information on those as well.
All right. And those are, okay, so let's backtrack. Alligator's already over and done with. The deer applications are due by what, August the 15th?
August 15th. And actually, that brings up a good point I wanted to mention. We are trying to transition into a pattern for the opening and closing of each lottery.
Okay.
So we are looking to open, you know, every lottery on the first of a month.
All right.
And then close it on the 15th of the following month.
Okay, so about 45-day window of application.
Correct.
Okay.
So waterfowl will be our next, you know, lottery to come up, as well as quail.
Okay.
I'm hoping to have those applications posted September 1, and then they will go on till October 15th.
Okay. Very good. Waterfowl, you just mentioned that. We talked about that. Quail, not something we get a lot of.
Yeah.
Because when I was growing up in the late 70s, well, all through the 70s and all that, we had quail everywhere, and now we have deer everywhere and no quail. So quail's kind of something that not many people know we still have a hunt for. Where does that take place?
We are trying to bring the whistle back.
Yes, the whistle back.
Yes, sir. So quail. So we do offer a lottery hunt for quail.
Okay.
It's on Mackbee, which is in Chesterfield County.
Right.
We did actually just add two more hunt periods to that application. So in the past, six parties would be selected. This year, we were able to select eight parties.
Okay. All right.
The hunt period for that is 2 days. I believe it's a Friday, Saturday. You're able to hunt both days, or if you can only, you know, hunt on the Saturday, you're able to do that as well. And it's $5 per applicant.
Okay.
And you're able to have up to, I think, three party members.
And you have to bring your own bird dogs.
Correct. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Those are highly recommended.
And speaking of that, and I missed this when we talked about the waterfowl hunts, some of those hunts, and you need to go look at the details for those hunts, you do need to bring some stuff of your own, right?
Correct.
And some of those,
sir,
you'll provide decoys and whatever, and some of those you have to provide decoys. And a retriever is always a welcome addition to a waterfowl hunt.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. So we've got four out of the way. Youth waterfowl. We're trying to get more youth involved. Waterfowl is, it's a hunt here in South Carolina that a lot of people don't get to take advantage of. But a youth option for the waterfowl. Talk about that for a moment.
So we do have 10 sites that are available for the youth waterfowl. Don't want to bore you with naming all those sites. But you have to be 17 years or younger to be able to participate in the youth hunt, but you do have to be accompanied by an adult 21 years of age or older.
Okay. And let's see, 17 and younger. And you have to have all your appropriate tags for that, the state and federal waterfowl stamps?
Unless you are the under the age of 16.
Okay. All right. And then one more that you talked about is the youth turkey hunt.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe we didn't talk about
that. Let me grab some information on that.
No. That's all right. That's all right. I was just on my list of things, so don't worry about that. Don't worry. We'll be all right. That's next spring. Maybe we can have you back on next spring, and we'll talk just about the youth turkey hunts. Great. Well, all this information is on the DNR website. Can you point people where to go to find out more information and where they need to go to look for the applications?
Of course. So our main webpage is www.dnr.sc.gov.
Okay.
And on our main page, we have a bunch of headings at the top. If you select that hunting tab at the very top of the page.
All right. Got it.
And then kind of on the next page, you can apply for special hunts, and the first bullet says lottery hunt.
There you are.
And this is where we'll post applications, you know, when the lottery's in season.
Okay.
But if anyone ever has any questions, please always give me a call, shoot me an email, and I'll be here to help.
Emily, you did a great job.
Well, thank you.
I enjoyed having you. And like I said, let's don't make this the last time. Let's talk about it again and try to get more people involved in hunting here in South Carolina. And I appreciate you doing this for me.
No problem at all.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye. All right.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, Emily said that was her first radio interview. I find it hard to believe she did a great job. She was prepared. Hey, everybody, what do you think about Emily, huh? Give it up. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Did a great job. Thank you, Emily. Appreciate that. As always, I'm amazed how many people are still willing to come on this show and talk about things. It's just blown away. But add Emily to that list. She will be back, I'm sure. She did a great job. You know, and it's, like I said, and like she said, these are opportunities for every hunter in South Carolina. For a nominal fee, I think it's maybe $10. And you have the option to put in for preference points or not get drawn or whatever. So, anyway. And if you do a little bit of research, there's all sorts of statistics out there. The waterfowl statistics I was talking about, the 2018-19 season, I think she mentioned Bear Island West had a 3.9 bird per person, per hunter average, 5.3 at Cedar Island, 4.7 at Murphy Island, 4.9. That was the average for total category one. So pretty good. Pretty good. No, South Carolina Coast. Oh, what is that? SC Cape. Yeah, SCR. So the average for SCR was 4.9. 2.6 for Bear Island, because you had Bear Island East wasn't near as good as Bear Island West. And they're limited to, in the waterfowl hunts, you're limited to, 25 shells. So they're starting to make you have to pick your shots a lot better. Let's see. Where was I going with that? Oh, lottery hunts. Yeah. Lots of information out there. A lot of youth hunts. And they even, you know, if you want to know where these places are, there's a tab for hunt site information, directions to all the WMAs, which county. You can click on it. Shows you, gives you details. Youth hunting criteria, age 17 and younger, goes through all of that. And then the draw hunts for deer, we covered that. Yeah. So there's lots of information out there. Get on the DNR website. If you're interested in any of this, get on there and look. Now, the DNR is separate. Well, separate from some of the others. There is a DNR co-sponsored youth hunt in the upstate on private areas, Region 1, Unit C, that you can find on their website too. Under youth hunting applications, you'll see deer, youth deer hunt, upstate private areas, and advanced grove youth deer hunt, the application, all that. Goes through a little bit about, you know, some of these private land hunts you can go on. There's no application fee. Youth must be between 10 and 17, have an adult with them. If you're 16, 17, you must have a license. And these are private land hunts. These are not WMA hunts. This is an upstate. This is a additional place that you can go to deer hunt. And going back to the waterfowl hunt, something just crossed my radar this morning. New waterfowl public hunting opportunity announced July 31st, 2019. So that's just a couple days ago. The South Carolina Wildlife Partnership, SCWP, is a nonprofit organization that was formed by several South Carolina private landowners and outdoor enthusiasts who understood the need for more public access to hunting in our state. In South Carolina, 92% of hunting land is privately owned. And it goes through the goals of SCWP, SCDNR partnerships are to provide more public access on private lands, offer additional hunting opportunities for the DNR waterfowl lottery hunt applicants, and protect and promote our hunting heritage by increasing the number of quality hunting opportunities offered to the public at no additional cost or loss of preference points. So how do you participate in the SCWP waterfowl draw hunt opportunities? After September 1st, complete the quick opt-in registration on the DNR waterfowl lottery hunt site. Apply for the SCDNR waterfowl lottery hunt. Applications will be available September 1st, like Emily just said. If you opt in by registering and you are not selected for a DNR lottery hunt, SCDNR will provide the name, email, and phone number of the primary applicant to South Carolina Wildlife Partnership for inclusion in the SCWP lottery process. There's no additional cost, and preference points are not affected by the draw hunt opportunity through SCWP. SCWP requires each applicant opting in has successfully completed an approved hunter education course prior to any SCWP hunts. If selected, you'll be contacted directly by an SCWP representative. This is Ed Paul's, I believe his, Ed Paul used to be with South Carolina Waterfowl Association. I believe this. He is part of this, I'm sure. It's got his handprint all over it. So anyway, that's an additional thing that you can do when you're applying for the waterfowl hunts. Now, Savannah River, a lot of people have questions about Savannah River. It is not part of the Department of Natural Resources hunt opportunities. It is out there. They actually call them a deer control activity on the Savannah River site. They open up 150,000 acres that are used during these hunts. They do test for, always kind of fun when you go down there. And this is a dog hunt. This is where you're standing and you have dog teams and drivers running through. They do test for cesium-137. And they have limits. And they will take part of your deer, or they take your whole deer if there's too much. But they don't release it unless it's safe for you to eat it. And they give it back to you. They also have mobility impaired and wounded warriors hunt. The application deadline for that September 3rd, the same as the SRS hunts. And you can go to the SRS, the Savannah River site, website and find out more information about that. Dadgummit, I did not get to the four kids in Australia who packed the SUV with fishing rods, drive 600 miles before being stopped by police. Sounds like something I'd have done when I was a kid. All right. Fast show. A lot of information. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you'll do it again next Saturday. Next Saturday, be live from the Forest Wood Cup, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Be sure to tune in and see how Brian Latimer's doing. Until then, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. See you next week.